Okay, we'll start with a controversial statement. During the 9 days, it's mutter to have fleishigs and to drink wine. Now, of course, that what I just said goes against Shulchan Aruch, so shouldn't really follow that. But why do I say, what do I mean, that in the Gemara it's mefurish that it's mutter?
But Shulchan Aruch also said noyhagim.
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch, exactly. The Shulchan Aruch says there were noyagim, the Shulchan Aruch, there were noyagim not to, but, so okay, so obviously I'm making it, you know, I'm sort of over-dramatizing. Of course, we're not allowed, but what I mean to be bringing out is that not only is it not Medina de Gemara, and there's lots of things that we do that are not Medina de Gemara. The Gemara doesn't require it, but Klal Yisrael took upon themselves to go further. But over here, it's really remarkable. Not only doesn't the Gemara require that we abstain from meat during the 9 days, it's mefurish in the Gemara that you don't have to abstain from meat. What do I mean is mefurish in the Gemara? Because when the Gemara is telling the halachas of the Suda HaMafsekes, Suda Shemafsikim Bayi, the last meal that you have before the Tanis, so what's the halach of that last meal? The Gemara says, then you're not allowed to have fleishigs and you're not allowed to drink wine. Which means it's clear that earlier the same day, right, earlier on Wednesday, tomorrow, we'd be allowed to have fleishigs. That's Medina de Gemara. So that which we abstain from fleishigs earlier than that is all chumras that have been piled on, that Kaisal has accepted upon themselves in the later generations. And there's actually three versions that are all brought down on the Shulchan Aruch of this chumra. Yesh Oimrim, that we abstain from fleishigs during the Shavuot Shechal Bayis, starting from this past Sunday. That's the opinion of the Rambam. Yesh Oimrim, that's starting from Rosh Chodesh, which is the minhag that Ashkenazim follow. That's the opinion of the Ramban. The Yesh Oimrim, that starts from Shavuot Sabbatamos. The Shulchan Aruch brings that down also. That's the third Yesh Oimrim in the Mechaber, that comes from the Kol Bayi. All three of these are brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The minhag among Ashkenazim is that it's the 9 days. But it should be clear that all of this is just a chumrah, a minhag Yisrael. Now, I don't mean to be minimizing it. And, you know, as a matter of fact, the Rishonim say about this minhag, ha-peiritz gedi yishchenu nachash. This is an expression that comes from the Gemara. I mean, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Ha-peiritz geder, if someone breaks a fence, yishchenu nachash, he could get bitten by a snake. Right? The simple reading of the pasuk, it's a proverb, it's Mishlei, that you go break down a wall so you never know what might lie on the other side, and maybe there's a snake over there and you'll get bitten. But Chazal interpreted that pasuk to be referring to the geder that we build around the Torah, asus yag the Torah, you should build a fence around the Torah. And if somebody breaks that fence, violates the harchokos that Chazal make, so then yishchenu nachash, he deserves to be. It's like a klala that Chazal put upon him that he should be bitten by a snake. And
would that apply also to what a minhag is?
But over here, it's surprising that it's applied. It's applied to a minhag, yes. Even though this is not even a din de rabbanon in the classic sense. Usually, when we say a din de rabbanon, we mean something that was instituted by Chazal. And in Chazal, it's clear that they did not expect us to stay away from fleishigs for all these days. It came in the later generations, but even so, they use the expression of peiritz gedi yishchenu nachash because it's a minhag that's been niskabel throughout Klal Yisrael. Even though, like I said, there's, you know, I say throughout Klal Yisrael, but there's so many different versions. Some parts of Klal Yisrael from Rosh Chodesh, some from Shabbos, some from Shiva Sabbatamas. But it's nispashe throughout Klal Yisrael that we extend it. We have some kind of time leading up to Tisha B'Av that we abstain from fleishigs and wine. And so they say on this, peiritz gedi yishchenu nachash. But since it's not Me'ikar Adin, that's what allows some room to play around with it, so to speak, or to find kulais.
Flexibility.
So yeah, some flexibility, thank you. So it's written in Shulchan Aruch that by a sutas mitzvah, such as a siyum mesechta, then you're allowed to have fleishigs. If somebody makes a siyum during the 9 days, then fleishigs is on the menu, and that's perfectly fine. It's allowed and it's called for.
Not Abdallah, though.
So what about Abdallah? No, so that's actually what I want to talk about. So the Mechaber says that therefore Abdallah, okay, it's not Nagei anymore this year, right, but Abdallah this past Motzei Shabbos, the Mechaber says you make Abdallah on wine and you drink the wine. And the rationale is because it's no different than a siyum. The idea by the siyum is that since it's only a minhag, so what was the minhag of Klai Yisrael was makabel? Is that the way the Gra explains it? Klai Yisrael, when they were makabel upon themselves this minhag, they never included ta'aser as midas mitzvah. That was never included in the kabbal of Klai Yisrael, so it's not in the aser. So you're allowed to have fleishigs by a siyum. So the Mechaber says that Havdalah is no worse than the Siyum Masechta. It's certainly a mitzvah. It's not, you know, it's time that you're drinking to have fun with friends. It's a Kaishal Bracha. It's a mitzvah. So it's no worse than the Siyum Masechta. So the Mechaber says that you make Havdalah on a cup of wine and you drink the wine.
If you have a kiss during the time also.
We'll come to that in a moment.
Not Birka Samozin, right?
A Birka Samozin actually is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as being the same as Havdalah. But that's only for people that always make Birkas HaMazon on a Kais. Nowadays, most people don't have that minhag, so we don't. But Kais Shel Havdalah, what it says in the Mechaber is that you drink the wine yourself. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, but if there's a Tinoik, it's better to give it to the Tinoik. Give it to a child. As if to say, you know, that way you could avoid the problem. Like you know, you satisfy everything. Just give it to a child. The question arises, the Gra asks this question, why is the Ramah being machmir? Now the Ramah, by the way, he doesn't disagree with Ikar Adin. If you don't have a child, and we'll see soon what the parameters are of this child, well, if you don't have a child at home, then the Ramah agrees that you can drink it. Absolutely, you should drink the wine of Havdalah. But if you have a child, you give it to a child. So the Gra says, why are we even hesitant to follow this kula of drinking the wine yourself if we do it by a siyum masechta? By Siyum Masechta, nobody says that it's better to give it to a child. And for that matter, nobody says that it's better to push it off till after the 9 days. If you finish something now, it's a legitimate Sudas Mitzvah, so you do it. So Havdalah is also a legitimate Sudas Mitzvah. Why is there even a Lechat Chiba that you should give it to the child? So the Gra says something very interesting. He says, because the reason why Havdalah is different is because it's Efsher. There's an alternative. It's Efsher Al Yedei Tinoik. So what does that mean? Why a Siyum Masechta isn't also efsher? You could also give it to a child. You could also push it off till later. What does he mean? There's no alternative. But what he means is that by the Siyum Masechta is a happy occasion. And to celebrate, you want to make a nice meal. So if you say, well, push it off till later, so then now you're not making a nice meal, or to make a more direct comparison, if you say give it to the child, then you're not celebrating. So it's not efsher to be mekayim the inyan of the siyum while giving it to a child. But by Havdalah, why do we have wine by Havdalah? That's not because of celebration. That's not, the point over there is not to make a simcha. The point is because the bracha of Havdalah, the Hamadu Mekayim Shachar, should be said ala kais, that gives chashivas to the bracha. And once you're saying it ala kais, you have to drink from the kais, because otherwise it's not respectful for the kais. But in a word, I would call it's ceremonial. That kais is ceremonial. It's not celebratory. It's not to celebrate. It's to have a ceremony. That, so the Gra says, that's efshar al yedei tinoik. The ceremony could be done just as well by giving it to a tinoik. But a celebration can't be done just as well by giving it to a tinoik. If we have, let's all celebrate, but we're not going to eat the food, we're going to have the children, so then you're not celebrating. So when it comes to a siyum masechta, which is supposed to be a celebration, that's not efshar al yedei tinoik. So then, go ahead, you're allowed to do it yourself. But Havdalah, since the purpose of the kais is not to celebrate, it's just to enhance the ceremony of the Havdalah, so that could be done by giving the kais to a tinaik. So there's a preference that we give the kais to a tinaik. So it comes out from this a very interesting, sort of funny halacha that'll arise. You mentioned, what about when you make a bris mila, right? So if you have a bris mila on you know, during the 9 days. So are you allowed to have fleishigs and wine? The two always go together. Basar yayin is the same halacha. Are you allowed to have basar yayin? So the short answer is yes, definitely. It's no less valid than a siyum masechta, even more so. Of course you could have. But the funny thing is, imagine that, you know, you have the bris. Let's say, you know, you're in shul. The bris is in shul. And then your shul has a social hall downstairs. Upstairs at the bris, there's also a kais yayin. Right?
Right.
You always have a cup of wine at the bris, that you make the bracha on a cup of wine. Then you go to the suda. So I just said that by the suda, you could have fleishigs, you could have wine, no problem. But the cup of wine that you're using for the bris, that's more chamer, because that's ceremonial. So what do we do with that cup of wine? You give it to a tinek. I was by a bris yesterday. They gave the cup by Amir. Amir and Nicole. The bris yesterday. So they gave the wine to a tinek. So it's a very strange thing. That cup you give to a tinek, and then you sit down at the table and you pour everyone wine, and everyone can drink from the wine. And you know, you might have thought ibcha mistavra, like which wine is more, has greater value in halacha, the wine, the kosher bracha, or the wine that we stam drink at the meal. It seems counterintuitive, but if you follow the lumdus, that's what comes out, that the wine that you use for the bracha, that you should give to a tinek. But then you sit down to the suda and you want to drink wine, by all means, you're allowed to drink wine because that's to celebrate the bris milah. Mm-hmm. And that's allowed during the 9 days. So fleishig, I saw that in the Sefer Kovitz Halachas, which is Daniel Kleinman, who has a very close relationship with Shmuel Kamenetsky, and apparently discussed thousands and thousands of halacha shailas with him, and has put out a series of svarim called Kovitz Halachas. It's all Piskei of Shmuel Kamenetsky, but it's all his discussions with Shmuel Kamenetsky. And he writes over there that this halacha that you're allowed to serve fleishigs at a wine and meat at a bris, you know, we all went to many, many brisim. Right, and we know that the standard fare at a bris is bagels, you know, lox. You know, most people make a milk like a bris.
Not by Chassidim.
They're much more makbid to make a fleishig suda. You know,
a suda unless it's meat.
Some people are makbid on that.
Israel, where it's very common, I'm not sure why. You do it later on. They don't do it at the crack of dawn. They do it at, let's say, noon time. It's much more often.
Really?
If it falls on Shabbat, it's lunch.
Right. That's true. So Shabbos bris will always be later in the day.
So it's much more common to make it 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
Really? I didn't know that. Why is that?
I don't know why. It's the reason why you don't
miss the Shabbos.
Maybe nobody works in your shalom.
After Shabbos.
Maybe you mean by the Hasidim or by...
even by the yeshiva guys. I'm not talking about the guys, I'm familiar.
I wonder if it's because there's a very small number of mayalim that are in very high demand and they're doing a dozen brisim. So
it's much more common to be later. Not at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So there definitely are people that advocate making a fleishig bris all the time. And there are other people that say, look, you know, the olim is not going to enjoy that, so it's, you mechabed the mitzvah by giving something that people will enjoy for breakfast. But what Daniel Kleinman asked from Shmuel Kamenetsky, if somebody had, let's say, three babies already, you know, three baby boys, he's made brisket, he always served bagels and lox and cream cheese, right, and coffee and milk, because that's what the olim likes. Now he has a baby, and he's making a brisket in the 9 days. So he'd like to serve fleishigs. Because, you know, that'll be geschmack. He hasn't had fleishigs in a few days. So is he allowed to do that? If he, you know, everyone said, yeah. Because the reason why it's mutter is because, like the Gros says, Klai Yisrael were not makabel and iser by Yisudas Mitzvah. So it doesn't matter that it looks a little bit like, oh, you know, you're not really doing it l'shma. There's no iser. He says, there's no iser. So even if the reason is because it'll be particularly geschmack to have fleishigs now, adarabah, should make a fleishig of bris.
How about music?
No.
So, music, not.
No, you're not allowed to. No,
so, right. Even though it's a Sudas Mitzvah.
Right, no, you're not allowed to music during a Sudas Mitzvah, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that there is siyumim being done in the 9 days also, just because.
Okay, so in a couple of minutes, we'll come to the siyum, right? That'll be the second half of the shiur. We'll be messiahim with the siyum discussion.
And then the hundreds of people are going normally, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll talk about that.
We'll see him before then nobody shows.
Right.
So really, you're not supposed to. If you do not have a tinek, you drink it, right? But can you finish it, or
so
do you say have the
you mean the kosher bracha by the mila?
No,
by Abdallah. Yeah, you could drink it. You could do, you have to finish the shear. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know exactly how much is the shear. That's a good shayla. I think if it's the Kaisal Abdallah, I think you're allowed.
Grape juice also the same as wine.
Yeah.
Why is grape juice? I mean, it's no alcohol.
Right, but it's why I think really because it's considered the same drink. It's another version of the same drink. So even though the din wasn't made because of this version, but it's all wines, and this is also a kind of wine.
You can use beer, if you say. Mm.
You made on wine?
Wine, yeah.
My father always made on beer.
Okay.
We were talking about it, I said, my father did this.
So by all means, to somebody that has a minhag that, you know, my father always did it, if that's the minhag hamakom, or nowadays minhag hamakom is not sunagay, it's usually minhag mishpacha, but what place is called minhag hamakom, if that's your minhag, then you're allowed to do it on beer. But if somebody that doesn't have that minhag, it's really preferable if it's not known that that's your minhag, you really should use wine because beer is chamar medina, which it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch. You're allowed to fulfill havdalah with chamar medina, but there's machlokes b'shenim. Although the Gemara says that you could make havdalah on chamar medina, but the Rambam says that it's only b'makom she'in hayayin matzoi. It's not so partial that you could, under all circumstances, be yetzi with havdalah. You could yetzi havdalah with beer. So to use beer is being makel on a halacha shayla in halachas havdalah. To use wine is really only a question of a minhag shayla, meaning this me'ikar din, there's for sure nothing wrong. Yeah, and because first of all, I mean, me'ikar din meaning medina de gemara, there's for sure nothing wrong because it's not the sudam of sekes. But even more than that, even minhag Yisrael, there's really nothing wrong because it's sudas mitzvah. It's no worse than the same sekta. It's only, you know, b'makom she'efsher. But there's really this idea that chalais, so we're not makabel by a sudas mitzvah. So avdol is really mutter. So to use wine for Avdallah doesn't really compromise any serious shaylas. Well, to use beer gets involved in a shayla. So therefore, all things being equal, we would say that it's better to use wine if you're going to drink it yourself. But yeah, there are places that had the minhag of using beer, and if that's the minhag, then you should do that. There are mud that says that you should give it to a tinaik. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Magen Avraham said they have to be careful. It's not so pasha just to give it to a tinaik. There's what kind of a tinaik qualifies for this job? So the Magen Avraham says he has two there's two conditions, and one is on the low end that he has to be qualified enough, and the other is on the high end that he can't be too qualified. So what the Magen Avraham is doing is making sort of a window that it has to be a tinaik that falls into a narrow window. What's this window? It has to be katan shehigia lechinuch. He's old enough to be called higia lechinuch, but loy higia lehis abalal Yushalayim. He's not old enough to understand the concept of avelos that we're sad because the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Yushalayim was destroyed. And if he's inside that window, then you should give him the ayin of Avdallah, but otherwise not. So I want to try to unpack this. Let's take these two halachas one at a time. The part about higia lechinuch, why does he need to get, in other words, you can't give it to a 3-year-old or 4-year-old. The reason for that is because the katan that's drinking the wine is justifying your bar piagafen. You can't say a bar piagafen if I take food and I make a bracha and then I put it down and I don't eat it. That's a bracha vatal, right? That's a classic bracha vatal. If a person gets up and says bracha tashem lechem echelam bar piagadama and he doesn't eat anything, that's a bracha vatal. If I make the bracha and somebody else is eating, so the truth is that usually is also not so partial, but the Gemara says that meaning usually we're moitzi one another in a birchas hamitzvah, not in a birchas hanenin. But the birchas hanenin that's attached to kiddush and avdallah and matzah, those the Gemara says are exceptions, and you're allowed to be moitzi somebody. So I could be moitzi somebody with the bar piagafen of Havdalah, but only because that person's going to drink. Now, I'm making a bar piagafen, and somebody's got to drink. If nobody drinks, my bar piagafen is bracha vatala. So that person that drinks has to be someone that's not allowed to drink without a bracha. If he's allowed to drink without a bracha, he doesn't need a bracha to drink a cup of wine, then my bracha is still a bracha of atala. Three-year-olds, is allowed to drink without a bracha, even if he's four, he's five, we teach him, and we teach him the words, and we say hooray when he makes it, that's very nice. But if he's not old enough that we could say he's really supposed to, what's called higiyah l'chinuch, so it's very subjective, but the Gemara says that kibar shis kibar sheva l'fum churfei, a six-year-old, a seven-year-old, depending on how smart he is. I mean, that's giving us an approximation. If somebody's particularly slow, then it could be later. If somebody's particularly advanced, then it could be a little bit earlier. But a typical 6 or 7 year old, that's called higiyah l'chinuch. So a 5 or 4 year old is allowed to eat without or drink without a bracha. So since he's allowed to drink this wine without a bracha, so my bracha wasn't used for anything. Right. So that's a bracha vatala. It has to be a katan that's not allowed to drink. Not just that we would shout hooray when he makes a bracha, but a katan that's not allowed to drink without a bracha. Once a child is a school-aged child, so he's expected not to eat without a bracha. That's called higiyah l'chinuch. So then he needs a bracha. I can make a bracha for him. So my Rabbi Agafen is mitzi him. So if I give it to a 7-year-old, that's good. He's drinking. That justifies my Rabbi Agafen. But if I give it to a 4-year-old, that doesn't justify my Rabbi Agafen. So that's why you need the higiyah l'chinuch. That's not because of Hilchis Tisha B'Av 9 days, anything like that. That's because of Hilchis Brachas. Then on the so he shouldn't be younger than, let's say, 6. Then on the other hand, Zakta Bar Avraham, if he's already 12 years old, he's a big boy and he understands, and and he had a whole workshop in camp describing, the Beis HaMikdash and Avelus, and if you sent your son to camp, he probably has a better understanding of the Avelus than you do. Because I remember when I went to camp, those were the years that I really did have a hergish for the Avelis, because there's programs there to help make it meaningful. So the Magen Avraham says, so he shouldn't be drinking wine now any more than you should. Well, it's Avelis. He's a katan. Yeah, but he's a katan shegiyah l'chinuch. So he's old enough to do the mitzvahs. So the Magen Avraham says it's an interesting thing that the age of 6 or 7, that's a shegiyah l'chinuch for most mitzvahs, but different mitzvahs have different shirim. It's not reasonable to expect a 6 or 7 year old to have a concept of Avelis. So he's not called a Giyah L'chinuch for that. But once he's, pick your number, but let's say 12, then he should be Mesavah al Yushalayim. Once he reaches that point, he shouldn't be drinking the wine any more than you should. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says you have to give it to a tinoik that's in that window, that he's old enough that he's a Giyah L'chinuch for Hilchas Brachas. So your bracha is not going to be a bracha vatala, but he's young enough that he's lo yigiales abal al yushalayim, so he's allowed to be drinking wine. Zok the Magen Avraham, then he said, now that part of the Magen Avraham, that you have this window that he shouldn't be too old and he shouldn't be too young, is that's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. But then the Magen Avraham adds something, and this is really the other place I'm arguing on, but the Magen Avraham adds that it follows from this, that if we're saying that you should give the kais of Avdalahu to a katan shalei gil l'sabu yishalayim, because if he was already old enough l'sabu yishalayim, he shouldn't be drinking the wine. So you give it to a tinaik who's lo yigil l'sabu yishalayim, because for him it's okay to drink the wine. That means that a katan that didn't reach this threshold doesn't have to follow the laws of the 9 days, at least about meat and wine. That's a huge kula. Zok the Magen Avraham, that we learn from this Ramah. If the Ramah says, give the wine of Havdalah to a tinaik, that means, now he doesn't mean a tinaik that's higiyah l'sabu yishalayim, he means a tinaik that's lo higiyah l'sabu yishalayim. But if that tinaik is allowed to drink wine, and if he's allowed to drink wine, he's allowed to eat flay shakes, so that means he's allowed to have hot dogs for supper also. If you could give him the kais of Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, then you can make him hot dogs on Sunday. What's the difference? The same halacha. So the Magen Avraham says that even though we don't eat filet shakes during the 9 days, but children are allowed to eat filet shakes during the 9 days until they're higiyah l'sabu yishalayim. That's really a big kula. I mean, in a household, in a family, it's often a big challenge during the 9 days making suppers for that the kids will like. The Magen Avraham holds you could serve them filet shakes. Mr. Brewer writes that this part of the Magen Avraham was not accepted. Eli Rabbah and many other Poskim disagree, and the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't accept this. We say that no, the children in a frum house don't eat fleishigs during the 9 days. Obviously, it's more to get to fleishigs than to wine. I mean, right? Usually, not giving your children wine during the week. Anyway, but fleishigs, it's very negeya. Children don't eat fleishigs. Everybody's on the same menu. He's lo yigil, it's how you shall I am. Yeah, okay, but still, but he's yigil lechenach, so he follows the rules. They're not so meaningful to him. And echanami, some rules are not so meaningful at this age, but when you get older, you'll grow into it. But once he's, even a small child should not be eating fleishigs during the 9 days. But then the question is, so then what's pshat on the Ramah? Why are we giving him the wine of Havdalah? So the Mishnah Berurah says that according to this position, those that argue with the Magen Avraham, it's really some kind of a, like a subjective sliding scale. And Echanami, he really has an issue too, but it's not as bad. For an adult, it's this bad to drink wine, even though, ironically, like we said at the beginning of this year, it's really not so bad anyway. I mean, the whole thing, it's a minug, and then we were makabel minug, we walk a mitzvah. So, but okay, but still, we want to try to avoid it. For a katan, it's a notch less bad, since he's lo yigil, it's alvi yushalayim, so it's not quite as bad. The whole thing would make much more sense, according to the Magen Avraham. Right? According to the Magen Avraham, we really have a clear-cut distinction. There are people that are in the Isser and people that are out of the Isser. The adults, and even children that are higil esabal yushalayim, they're inside the Isser. But a child that's lo higil esabal, let's say the 8 or 9 year old that's not old enough to understand Avelis, he's not in the Isser. Mm-hmm. So therefore you give him the case of Avdallah. And therefore you can give him fleishigs also all week long. The Shabbos says we don't accept that. So we say no, he is in the Isser, but just not as strongly as the adults. And therefore when it comes to Avdallah, we prefer to give him the case. So that's the bottom line of the halacha. Even though in Lumdus it's seems a little bit forced, but what's accepted in the halacha is that we do try to keep to this window with the case of Havdalah. If you have a tinek at home, you give it to a tinek that's a gil lechinuch, but lo yigil lezavul yushalayim. But the rest of the week you shouldn't be serving them fleishigs. Any ketanim, you shouldn't be serving them fleishigs.
Doesn't it go on the shoulders of the father? So if you're giving him wine, what's the difference of the kid drinks or the father drinks?
Because the kid doesn't have the same type of avelus as the father, since he's lo yigiel es abal yishalayim.
Not avelus, but he has this for drinking wine.
Right, but to a lesser degree, since his and the avelus is not as meaningful.
It's a minute. There's no yisur. It's a minute. You've missed the beginning. I'll send you the share. Right, because it's
right,
all a minute.
Right, right.
Like you took the flexibility point principle.
Exactly. Right. Now, this shear of Higilas Abel al Yushalayim, so how do we define that? So I was saying before, for argument's sake, a 12-year-old, so there's a quote, Bashem the Stipler, that the Stipler said that although he's not disagreeing with the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, that the Tinek is supposed to be one that's like Higilas Abel Yushalayim, but for all practical purposes, you could ignore it. Mm-hmm. You could give it to any Tinek. Why? Because Tinek is just not like, what?
Only up.
Right, meaning you don't have to worry about how, even if he's the heir of his bar mitzvah. Heir of his bar mitzvah, you could give it to a Tinek even if he's 12 and 3 quarters, because the Stipler said, who among us is he Gil Esabal Yushalayim? Even the adults are, you know what, people have a real understanding of Avelis for Yushalayim. It's a very, very elusive Madrega, Higil is Abel Yishalayim. So for the Ketanim, you don't, even though I said before, camp is good for that, but the disciples said that for the Ketanim, you don't even have to worry about Higil is Abel Yishalayim. You can give it to any Katan. Ironically, the Stipler had some nice big Bali Kishrin for among his children. Rav Chaim Kanevsky was his son. And Alzeh Nemar, from his experience, he said that there's no such thing as a katan as Higilas Abel Yishalayim, so he wasn't makbid on that.
Rav Chaim used to drink.
Right, so apparently that means that Rav Chaim Kanevsky, when he was a child, used to drink from the Kais of Havdalah. Ironically, I don't know, I think last year when we had a shir during the 9 days, we talked about how when Rav Chaim Kanevsky became an adult, he had a bigger problem with Havdalah because he married into the Chazanish's family. I'm sorry, no, I take that back. That's not when he got married. No, he was a daughter of, his mother, mother was the Chazanish's sister. So he grew up in a Chazanish family, and he had concerns about Chamar Medina not being allowed for Abdullah. That was last week's shir. So yes, his whole life he's had trouble with Abdullah during the 9 days. But
which way? I'm not following.
What was the concern? What I'm talking about over there was no. I'm sorry. You're right. A little bit of a different thing. He was talking about someone that, you know, what the discussion was. Tisha B'av Shechal B'Shabbos, and then you have a chayla drinking. So he's breaking his fast with Abdullah or without Abdullah. And he said that since you're not going to drink wine, you're going to drink Chamar Medina, but the Chazon just didn't allow Chamar Medina. So yeah, last year. Yeah, but I take it back. I got mixed up when I said that it happened when he got married. No, for Karen, that's his family of origin, because his mother was a sister of the Chazon. So the stipulists said not to worry about it, but the Mishabura says that, you know, it shouldn't be a tinnik that's too old. And I saw in the Dirshu Mishabura, they bring down an interesting get. I mean, it's all a little bit arbitrary, but they bring down from Nissim Karelitz, that if you want to have kind of a yardstick to go by, so said once the children start learning Tosfos. I don't know what grade that happens in B'nai Brak. But he said, once the children start learning Tosfos, he said that indicates already a certain sophistication in their thinking. Then he's too old to drink the wine of Abdullah. Meaning, you have a child in your house who's, let's say, 11, 12, drink it yourself. Don't give it to the child. Drink, even though you're also Higil Asabal Yushalayim, right? Not less than the child. But you're only going to give it to the child if the child is out of the category. So if the child is already almost bar mitzvah, then don't give it to him. But other, if you have a child that's younger, you know, a school age, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-old child, then you give him the Kais of Abdallah. Now, I saw in the safe, in this one of the contemporary Svarim brings down, I saw him bring down B'Shem, the Eshal Avram, that's the Buchacharov, a different Geder or like definition of how we decide. The Buchach Rav is in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. The Pirush called the Eshel Avram is the Rav of Buchach. Is Gilitziana Rav, very very chashuv paisek. He's in the Shulchan. He's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim, and he's actually on the page of the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer. Very highly regarded Gilitziana paisek, and. But here's the thing. I saw this brought down b'shmoy, but I looked for it and I in the sefer and I didn't find it. So I don't know if he really said it. He didn't. Maybe somebody else said it and it was being misattributed. But what I saw brought down was that the shear of Higilas Abul Shalayim that you're not supposed to give to the child anymore is if he's old enough to understand that not eating meat and not drinking wine is because the meat represents the carbon tumid and the wine represents the nesachim on the mizbeach, and those, you know, since those got taken away, so we're not eating meat and drinking wine. That katan, he's too old to drink the Abdullah. If he's not holding by that, you can give him the Abdullah, which for practical purposes is kind of similar to what the stipulist said, that we don't have anything to worry about.
Right?
Right. But
what? It would rule out a lot of us.
But the thing that the reason why this is so surprising, though, is because I think what he's saying is almost without a basis. Again, what he would like the children to understand is that the reason why we don't eat meat and drink wine is because that's our way of mourning that we don't have the zavachim, which were meat, and the nesachim, which were wine, but. It's not. That's not right. What do I mean? The makar for this idea is the Gemara in Bava Basra. This analogy that the meat and wine is you're abstaining from meat and wine because we don't have the zvachim and the nesachim comes straight out of the Gemara in Bava Basra. But the Gemara in Bava Basra is absolutely not endorsing it. What it says over there is that in the dar after the Churban Abayis, there were people, what did it call them? The Rabu HaPrushim, the Gemara says, Prushim, meaning very firm people that started to abstain from meat and wine. And the Tanu Rabbi Yeshua went to them and he said, Bonai, my children, tell me, why are you not eating meat and drinking wine? And they said, how could we eat meat? This was brought on the Mizbeach, and now it's bottle. How could we drink wine? This was poured on the Mizbeach, and now it's bottle. So Rabbi Yeshua said to them, but if so, then you shouldn't be eating bread either, because bread was menachos, those were karbanos that were brought from bread. So the Purushim said, okay, you're right. We're not going to eat bread anymore either. So Rabbi Yeshua said, but Bonai, my children, but then you shouldn't eat fruit anymore either, because the fruit were brought to the Mizbeach and the Bikurim. So they said, well, that's all in the Shivas Aminim, so okay, we'll stay away from the Shivas Aminim, we'll only eat other fruit. Okay, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, before the days of oranges, that's kind of limited. But he said, okay, but Bonai, my children, you shouldn't drink water either, because once a year there was a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayel on the Mizbeach. So they said, so what are you trying to tell us? So Rabbi Yeshua said that Shalilis Abel Kol Iker, not to be Miss Abel at all, that of course is wrong, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But Les Abel Yaiser Mi Dai, to be Miss Abel too much is also wrong. So therefore we're supposed to follow the rules that Chazal gave us and not add more onto those rules. Now, ironically, that Gemara, if I'm talking the end of the Gemara, gives a bunch of rules that are really not so well followed in Klal Yisrael nowadays, and that may be a discussion for a different time. But the mention of meat and wine is brought up in this Gemara as an example of something that you're not supposed to do, meaning to abstain from meat and wine because of the Korban Beis HaMikdash is something that you're not supposed to do. The Gemara mentions it as a wrong practice. So here, this Paisik was saying that the Katan should understand that that's why we're abstaining. But no, I say that's not why we're abstaining. So I did see, though, that you remember I mentioned before that the Mechaber brings down three opinions in Shulchan Aruch as to when we abstain from meat and wine. Just the Shulchan Rabbi, the whole 9 days, or the whole 3 weeks. That third opinion, the 3 weeks, which comes from the Kolbay, the Kolbay says that, yeah, it's based on the Zvachim and the Nesachim. And he says that, yeah, you know, it's true, the Gemara says that it's a wrong practice, but the Gemara was talking about doing it all year long. I'm talking about doing it from Shavuos B'Tammuz, and the rationale is because there were five things that happened in Shavuos B'Tammuz. One of the five things was Shabutah HaTamid. And that's when the carbon tamid was taken away. And because the carbon, we stopped bringing the carbonites then, so we stopped eating meat and drinking wine. So in that third opinion, which we don't paskin like, the connection is rationale made to the Zvachim and the Nesachim, even though it's against the simple reading of the Gemara. But okay, but he could be miyashiv that the Gemara was only, you know, discouraging the practice for all year long, but you could do it for this part of the year. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, there is Epes and Makar, and you need a Shtikl Torah to be miyashiv it. So to go be teveyah from the children, that the children should be holding by the Shtikl Torah to be miyashiv the Kolbay that we don't paskin like, that seems like a pretty high bar. Excessively high bar.
So. So the 3 week session, we understand between Shabbos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av.
Right.
And Shmur Shachavo, we could understand maybe because we're closer to, but the from Aleph Av to the Tisha B'Av, it's only because the Gemara says that when Rosh Chodesh comes, we should lessen.
I think that's exactly right.
That's the
right.
Only reason. Is there a Makor in the calendar that something happened?
I don't think so.
It's only because the Gemara says.
Right, I think so.
But Aaron Jensen, Moshe de was Zion
of. Yeah, no, I don't think it's because of that. No, I think it's exactly what you
just
said.
Just because the Gemara says. But it doesn't say a reason. It just says when Rosh Chodesh comes. Sure.
Similar to the, you know, the Gemara's Mishnah Nichlas Adar Marvim because.
Well, that's sort of the balance of it almost.
Right. Because Av is such a sad month, so.
Not to the same degree.
Right, but not to the same degree. So, right, it's to, you know, sort of associate what, obviously Tisha B'Av is the main, you know, that's the red letter day, but the month, the whole month is the month of Tisha B'Av. So, that's the idea from the beginning of that.
Because we have
the Avelis goes off after Tisha B'Av.
But Tisha B'Av is the big
Kavishah. Yeah, right, okay, that's true. That's true.
It seems almost arbitrary because it's Rosh Chodesh, we pick the first day of.
So I would say it's because we think that there, there's a significance to a month as a unit of time. There are you know, when there is an event that takes place in a month, that gives a chashivas to the whole month. There's a.
However, after Tisha B'Av, all that goes away.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, well, not 100%. All of our Avelis practices go away, but the halachos about, or the practices that are mentioned about Mishan, in the Gemara of Mishan Nechmasav, that if somebody has a court case, then he's trying not to do it in Chodesh Av, that many Paiskim say is on the whole Chodesh Av.
The meat and the wine has got nothing to do with Simcha?
Of course it's not Simcha.
So why aren't we knowing not to do it when somebody's a novel for a parent?
Excellent question. So we actually, there is an Isser Basa V'Yayin, but it's during the period of Einin, not the period of Avelis. With the period of Einin, at that time, there's an Isser of Basar V'Yayin.
Not the whole
thing? Not sure.
Do we have a comparable period in Tisha B'Av? I mean, I know the morning is supposed to be similar to like a parent. So do we have a comparable time of Onain on Tisha B'Av?
Yeah. There's a Makarios in Rishonim that compare, if I'm not mistaken, the Suda HaMafsekes with the period of Aninus, and then Tisha B'Av itself with the period of Avelus. I think we mentioned this in that shir last year. Maybe the Erzeruah. The Erzeruah is a Rishon from Ashkenaz 1200s. I think he says this, that the progression from Sudam of Sekes to Tisha B'Av is supposed to be a parallel to Aninus and Avelus. Okay, so we mentioned before that the big exception that people make to the Isser of eating fleishigs and drinking wine is by a Siyum Masechta. Siyum Masechta is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama, that by Siyum Masechta you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine. And in the Mishnah Berurah, it says, it attaches a very strong condition. Shabura writes, and the Aruch HaShulchan, I think even more so, they write very critically about the practice, which apparently even in their time they felt was being abused a little bit. They said, sure, you can have fleishigs by a siyum masechta, but you're not allowed to schedule a siyum deliberately to be during the 9 days. It's only if in your Seder HaLimud it works out that there's a siyum masechta, then you're allowed to make a siyum.
No rent to siyum.
But, well, right. But to be ma'aher or ma'acher a siyum, so that should be in the 9 days, Mishabur says that's not allowed. Hmm. Now, Kayadua, many Yidden are makel on that. Even Choshev Erlich Yidden are makel on that. And There is a makar in the siddur of Yaakov Emdin. Of Yaakov Emdin, who has some halachas of Tisha B'Av in his siddur, he disagrees with this chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah. Obviously, he's before the Mishnah Berurah, but he writes differently than the Mishnah Berurah. But before we come to his words, I want to mention something else very interesting. The reason why I was looking in the siddur of Yaakov Emdin when I found this was because I saw something that appeared outrageous. That I saw quoted by Shem Yaakov Emden. This was a few years ago. Someone put a parsha sheet on my shtender with, the week of Tisha B'Av, you know who. And it said over there, brought down that in the Yaakov Emden Siddur, it says that you're allowed to have fleishigs at a suda shema'arech boi Talmud Chacham. If you're hosting a Talmud Chacham in your house, because the Gemara says that kol ha'arech Talmud Chacham asoich beisai ki'ilu nene miziv hashchina. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing to have a Talmud Chacham in your house. So that makes it a sudas mitzvah. So if you invite a Talmud Chacham to your house tonight for supper, you're allowed to have a sudas mitzvah. I thought to myself, wow, that's a really big chiddush. How come I never heard of that? I have to go look this up. So I was looking in the siddur of Yaakov Emdin. And, okay, he does say something along those lines. But what he actually says is as follows. If a Talmud Chacham comes to town, and you're hosting him, and he's coming from the road, and he's been traveling, and he needs fleishigs. So let's take a step back. Let's say it's anybody that comes to your house and he's been traveling and he's weak. And mishum chulsha d'orcha, right? He's chalashing and you need to revive him, you need to give him fleishigs. So you give him fleishigs. it's only a minhag and it is a chayla. So mishum chosher d'orcha, you could feed your guest fleishig. If that guest is a talmid chacham, then you could join the suda also. See, if it's tam a guest that comes in and he says, "I'm chalashing, I need a piece of meat," so you know, you hachanas zerchem, you give him a piece of meat, but it's 9 days, so you eat your melech eggs and he eats fleishig. But if it's a tam a chacham, then Zokter B'Yakov Emden call him a reich, tam a chacham say chpesa kilu nenem izav ashkina. So then you can consider it a suda mitzvah and you could join him. But he says, but what you should really do to make it more legit is you should invite the other Talmid Chachamim in the town also to the celebration and have them say Divrei Torah, and then it's a whole maimed of Kavod HaTorah, and you're being Ma'arech, the Talmid Chacham, and then you can have fleishigs at the Suda.
Wine too?
So, yeah, wine too. Yeah, if you're allowed fleishigs, you're allowed wine. That's always together. So, yes, he does give a heter on the basis of Kol HaMareich Talmid Chacham Maseich Beisai. But it starts with the fact that the Talmid Chacham needed the fleishigs mishum chol shadu urcha. And then you're allowed to be mitzdaref because of HaMareich Talmid Chacham Maseich Beisai.
When you said this, why is wine included? You know, you're doing the meat because he needs the meat. Why would you say the wine is automatic?
Because when she invited everybody,
so I think, I'm...
You know what I mean? You're doing it sort of for a chayla.
Right.
So why would the wine automatically go along with it?
Nice hara. I guess I'm not sure. I think that he's saying that once you have all this, so he's considering the Suda Mitzvah. That's why he's allowing you to participate. But maybe you're right. I can't say I remember for sure if he says it. So yeah. All right. We'll leave that an open question.
You can't just invite the Ishbizu.
Right. Right. You see, the Ushpizin aren't weak when they come. There's no chilsha to urcha there.
Everyone's a tam a chacham.
Oh, so that gets us to the second half. So Rav Yaakov Emden is so often very, very entertaining to read, because he was, you know, he was a little bit cynical, maybe caustic is a better word, and also had a very good sense of humor. He had a real sense of humor. So when he writes this halacha, he says, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he says, but you have to keep in mind that when I say Talmud Chacham, loyas lean on basar shma. He says, we don't go by name and reputation for this. It has to be an emes of Talmud Chacham. And he says, many people that call themselves Talmud Chacham, or that other people call Talmud Chacham, what they're really doing is being boine bama la'atzmai b'shas isr bamais. He says, that's many quote-unquote Talmud Chacham. So you have to be careful that when loyas lean on basar shma, that's in the Hilchas Tisha B'Av, you can find the Rav. And then he adds, and I said that you should have the other Talmud Chacham come and say, but you should be careful about that also, because I sometimes hear people say Divrei Torah, and I think to myself, this person's not allowed to eat meat the rest of the year either. Referring to the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Tes, that it says, "I'm a aretz asr lachol basar." So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, "You have to be careful basar atam chacham. You have to be careful basar atvar teira." But if it's a loyaz lein basar shema, but a real tam chacham, and you have them saying real Divrei Torah, then, and you're being married, and there's a chol shadu urcha, all that together, he allows the play shakes.
Can
I
have music too?
No. This is like, we might have seen also. That's not a heter for music. That's what I went to the Siddur of Yaakov Emden for, because I was looking up this, and that was taka very, very gishmak. But then I saw afterwards, this was a big payoff, I saw that he writes in that paragraph that, you know, you're allowed to have fleishigs by a siyum masechta, and he says, and if people want to be memaher to hurry up to finish the masechta, so that it should fall on 9 days, he said, I think that's a fine thing, because you know, you're being mizaris to learn more Torah, so we're not going to criticize that, even if it's, you know, a little bit, you're being makel on the 9 days, that's the expense, but there's a benefit also. You see, you're learning more Torah, so say we could allow that, provided that you're not going to compromise on the level of the learning. That's what he says. So the first half of the sentence, I would say that's what the Olam is samech on. The second half of the sentence, I would say the Olam is not choshish for. But Rav Yaakov Emden does say that he gives this kula, that you're allowed to hurry up to schedule a siyum masechta b'dafka during the 9 days. to, you know, and to have a hatat to eat fleishig.
And the same token, it should be the other way, to schlep it along so you can chazer it more and understand it deeper and
okay,
better.
Okay.
Delay it, so.
Maybe he would agree that if you're delaying it to chazer it more, and you're going to chazer it more to tesis, and then you'll make the same thing in 9 days, he would be okay with that also. If you just want to leave, you know, say you finished it a month ago and you're just going to leave off the last piece to make your seam during the 9 days, that I don't think he's approving of.
What's wrong with scheduling it?
Because then he feels that you're being mizal. The Mishnah Berurah certainly feels that that's being mizalzel in the Easter of the 9 days. It's all if there's a real simcha. Yeah. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that if it's going to be marbe Talmud Torah, then that's okay. But if you learned it anyway and you finished it and then you're just waiting to make the seam during the 9 days. So that the place give none of the place really are allowing.
It's a manipulation of the learning.
Exactly.
Using the learning to eat greed.
So a bris that's going to be shalai this money anyway, should you not do it during the 9 days?
Chas v'shalom. No, because a bris even shalai bismanai. We call it Shalai Bismanai, but it really is Bismanai, because the first day that you're able to, that's Bismanai of the mitzvah. You're not allowed to push off a bris.
I know that.
My grandson's bris was Sobatavis. Uh-huh. So we did it before the Shkia.
And then you had the Suda afterwards.
The Suda after, yeah.
Okay.
Hanan both.
You can have flesh. Oh, it's getting dark. It's close.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes. So Yaakov Emden also, he writes over there that you shouldn't, that you, you know, you could have flesh by seeing Masech, and you could even hurry up to you know, schedule your seeing Masech during the 9 days. But you can't invite other people that weren't involved, weren't connected with the learning. It should be the learners, their families, the people that helped them, the people that have shaychus to the siyum. But you can't invite strangers in just because they want to fleishig a meal. That, he says, is not allowed. And the Mishnah Berurah also says, the Mishnah Berurah brings that down, b'shem Rabbi Yaakov Emden. It's interesting. That he brings b'shem Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The other part, that you're allowed to schedule it for the 9 days, that he argues that he doesn't bring that b'shem Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He says that the Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed. But they both agree that when it comes to inviting others, that's not allowed. Again, you know, there's definitely, you know, people that are makel in that. And I saw in the Dirush B'Shabur, they bring down that by Chassidim, even by Rebbes, by Tzadikim, they're more makel in this. That they have Siyumim to allow big Fleishik Asudas during the 9 days. That's an accepted practice by the Chassidim. It's not only by people that aren't, you know, aren't so from, quote unquote, that's a accepted hanhaga in some Tzvutzlis Yisrael. But the Mishnah Berurah Lemaisa says that it's not allowed.
Even for the minyan?
That's an interesting question. Could you add people to be mashlim a minyan? Maybe you could say that since you'd probably do that. I mean, you don't need a minyan for a siyam. But you want it for the kaddish. Maybe we could say that this, I'm just thinking aloud, but if you would do that all year long, if you would always ask, even if they're not really connected, but you would ask almost strangers to come in because you want a minion, so then maybe it's no worse now.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It's the same issue. Erev Pesach?
You mean, would you say there also?
It's always strangers.
Right, of course. That's a good ha'ara. That's a good ha'ara, and also it's contrived, right? You know, it's if we're ma'aher or ma'acher, but it's a good ha'ara. But I think there's a big difference in that.
It's not a veilus.
Actually, I take it back. I don't know. It's a good ha'ara. Why is the Mishnah Berurah more machmir here than he is over there, or would the Mishnah Berurah be machmir over there also? Food for thought.
What's the purpose of the seam of the tainus b'charis? Is it
avelus?
No.
It's not
avelus. But there is still a halach of a tainus, and you need a seam to be matir it, so that should have to be a legitimate seam. But there is the lemais where we are more makel there. Okay, Mr. Shem Erev Pesach time. We'll talk about that. I want to just end off with a couple of stories. So a friend of mine, you know, we track down this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's what everybody's saying on, that for their, what you called rent-a-seum, you know, he's the one that allows you to purposely make a seum during the 9 days. So two stories that rely on this Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So one, a friend of mine told me a number of years ago that he was at a fundraising event. The organization made an event on Sunday during the 9 days, a whole day event for their close benefactors, donors. It was a golfing event, you know, on a nice resort golf course. And the day began with a seum on the green. And then the next many hours as they're going along the 18 holes, so space, you know, there were different, like, barbecue stations all across the golf course. Now, of course, most people, if it's a whole day event, most people are not there at 10:30 in the morning. But there was a siyum at 10:30 in the morning. Maybe there was a minyan. And al smach that siyum, so for the rest of the day, people will, you know, be participating in the barbecue at, you know, all along the 18 holes. And a friend of mine was one of the participants. And then at, let's say, 6 o'clock, you know, everybody came in to the ballroom. And then they had the dinner, and it was a fleishige dinner, and that was also still al smach the same siyum that a couple of people were at 10:30 in the morning. So my friend,
was there too.
Okay. So my friend told me, my other friend, that he said when it came to the suda, he said to himself, maybe Ephraim wouldn't approve at this point. he had only power at the suda. Okay, that's one example of going pretty, you know, taking this kula of the Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Here's another one. During World War I, this is Rav Chaim Kanievsky said over b'shem his father, the Stipler Goyen. The Stipler Goyen was probably around 18, 20 years old at this time. During World War I, so I don't know the circumstances of how this happened, but during wartime, you know, strange things happen with, you know, with supplies and what was available and what wasn't available. And there was a situation that summer in the yeshiva where the Stipler was learning that the only food they had to eat was meat. They didn't have fruits and vegetables and they didn't have bread. They just had meat. During the 9 days, what did they do? So all the masmidim in the yeshiva went into overdrive. And somebody from the yeshiva made a siyum by every suda, every meal during the 9 days, so they're able to have fleishigs. And that also relies on the Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Two stories. Two stories, and we'll put them side by side.
A little different.